Of course, this is what the church puts before our minds this last Sunday before Lent begins to motivate us to more alms deeds, more works of charity during Lent. Helping those that are needy, the poor. This is all part of a proper observance of Lent, in addition, of course, to fasting and other sacrifices and greater prayer, both quantity-wise and quality-wise. St. Paul gives us some amazing illustrations to show how important the motive of something is. He tells us we can do the most amazing actions, the most sacrificial actions, the most giving of actions, but if it doesn't have the right motive, it's nothing. So when we're talking about motive, let's remember that we always, to receive a supernatural reward, we have to have a supernatural motive. If there is a human motivation involved in a work of charity, then our reward comes in this life. It will not come in the next. So as we do things, let us remember to have the motive behind it for the love of God and loving our neighbor for the love of God. Then we have true charity. Without that supernatural motivation, it's perhaps humanitarianism or some kind of self-seeking motive. So intention is crucial. It's very important with what intention or motive we do it. He says, if we could speak all kinds of tongues but do not have charity, what good is it? You have to love God. I'm just sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have so much faith that I could move a mountain, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. That seems like a contradiction. How could somebody have so much faith that he can move a mountain and yet still be lacking in charity? And there's obviously some I'm not sure of the exact literary device that St. Paul is using here, but he's really getting a point across, but saying, even if you could move that mountain and do not have charity, it's nothing insofar as a reward in heaven is concerned. Charity, love of God, has to be involved in what we do. And the next is the even more amazing comparison. It seems like a contradiction. He says, if I give all my goods to feed the poor and my body to be burned and don't have charity, it profits me nothing. You would think that if you're giving all of your goods away out of charity and dying a martyr, wouldn't that essentially be charity? But even there, St. Paul wants to get across the point, even in these greatest of actions, it's the motive that matters. And so we should often ask ourselves, why am I doing this? What's my motivation? And because of our fallen nature, it's easy for self-seeking motivation to come into the picture. Sometimes when we give to others, we serve others, we get a nice warm feeling inside. I did my good turn today. That's not bad, but here's the point. If we did it for the good feeling, if that was our main motivation, where was that supernatural motive for the love of God? So you see how important our morning offering is. It's the first thing we should do when we awake in the morning. Get out of bed, get on our knees, and offer the day to God. And in advance, tell God we're going to do things for the love of Him. We're going to try to not do it for selfish motives or just merely human motives, because we want that supernatural reward. And don't just make that intention with the morning offering, but throughout the day, renew it. Because again, these other motivations, come into play. Again, the feeling good about helping somebody out or getting things done, doing it because we have to. Again, our choice. Do we want the reward in this life, or would we rather have it in the next? St. Paul goes on to give us some qualities of charity. Patient and kind. Those can sometimes be very difficult to do. Our patience gets tested. We get annoyed with others. And St. Paul puts those qualities out there. He says, "If this is what it's going to cost us. These are the qualities we have to have in our charity. Be patient with one another. Be kind to one another. Don't envy one another." And envy can be not only in terms of material things. There's even a more subtle kind of envy, and I think even more offensive to God, when we are jealous of what somebody else or has spiritually. Think about that. I'm jealous that this person has this virtue or does this. God gave that person special graces, which maybe he didn't give to you. Let's not be envious or jealous of that. Let's praise God. There's always charity. When we see somebody having something materially or spiritually that we would like to have, we see we don't have it, we praise God that that person has it. That is truly charity on our part. Is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking. So again, more qualities, how charity is humble. You know, it's hard for a proud person to be charitable because he's looking down on others. Rather, in charity, we should try to look up at others. If we can do that, it will help with the practice of charity. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things. What I deduce from this, I believe this is what the spiritual writers say, is that we try to see the better of each other. Instead of jumping to the worst interpretation of what who somebody is or what they've done, try to see it in the most positive light you can. Now, if it's obviously a bad action, evil, we don't gloss it over and pretend it's not there. It is what it is. But sometimes we just don't know. So what's our first impulse, to think well or to think evil or to think badly? Charity tells us, try to put that positive, charitable construction on what we have just witnessed. Bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is very, very high praise. And it's not just mere poetry or literary device that St. Paul is using here. He's exalting the very essence of charity, which is to put God first, put our neighbor ahead of ourselves, love our neighbor for the love of God. Remember, our Lord even says that the two great commandments are to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and secondly, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So there's the essence of our Catholic faith. It's actually very simple. It's not complicated if you think of it in that way that our Lord himself taught. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. You know, sometimes people say we fell out of love. But I think St. Paul preaches the opposite of that. He says if it was true charity from the beginning, if it was true love, it can't stop. Oh yes, it may be harder to keep on loving somebody. And we see this challenge in love. It's We have the saying in marriage, the honeymoon comes to an end. And that's where the real growth in charity happens, that persevering through all the years. Giving of oneself when it's that romantic feeling isn't there, making it easier. So when God takes away that good feeling we may have had when we were initially loving somebody or some cause, you may even say even loving our faith, and we go through this period of dryness, let's remember that's the time to really grow in charity. That's where you develop the most strength in charity. Charity never fails. St. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. And I think he puts this in here, speaking now, says, now that I'm a man, I have put away the things of a child. And he's talking about how charity has to grow through our lives. Just alluded to that, especially in those times of dryness or difficulty. And then he finishes, or at least this section finishes, there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In life, yes, we absolutely have to have faith to get to heaven. We have to have hope to get to heaven. We have to have charity to get to heaven. But here's an amazing truth. In heaven, there is no faith and there is no hope. How can I say such a thing? Because you can't take somebody's word when you're experiencing it directly. When you're with God, you can't then say, well, I have to believe somebody else is telling me I'm with God. You see, faith disappears because it has no more need to exist when we see God face to face. And why does hope cease in heaven? Because you've achieved it. You are with God. How can you say, I'm with God and I'm in heaven, I hope I get there? You see, it would be an absurdity. So, as great as these three theological virtues are, and faith actually has to come first, believing has to come first, faith and hope will disappear one day, but what will never, ever, ever disappear in heaven is love. That's what it will be, loving God, He loving us, and loving Our Lady and the saints and the angels, and they loving us. That will be heaven. And there is no love in hell. Hell could be defined as the complete absence of love. What a terrible eternity, not to mention all the suffering, other sufferings. So we are called to love. We are called to grow in love. And sometimes love is hard. And let us remember to not fall into false charity. False charity happens when one sacrifices the truth. Who was more loving than Jesus Christ himself, who loves us infinitely as God and man, and yet he was put to death because he was faithful to the truth? False charity will tell us to deny and diminish and disregard the truth. Remember, it's always false. True charity involves loving the truth, not just Almighty God and one's neighbor, but the truth which God himself has established. So let us go forth in Lent with a good heart, with dedication to have a great spiritual renewal. Do it wholeheartedly, not grudgingly. And as a final exhortation to charity, remember what St. Peter says in his first epistle. I believe it's chapter 4, verse 8. Among all these things, have a constant mutual charity amongst yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. The more sins you may have committed in life, do more charity. Do great works of charity to cover over those sins, we have St. Peter's own word that that will happen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.